I really love the fall. And we're finally getting a little bit cooler weather. You know, I love having fires in the fireplace. I believe that's going to happen soon. Amen. I like wearing sweaters and jackets. You know, you can always take them off if you get warm. But man, the summer's just, well, anyway, I love the holidays. You know, time with family and friends and, you know, Thanksgiving and then heading into the Christmas season and all the things. Amen. Yeah. And the most wonderful time of the year. Also, the most stressful time of the year. Yeah, it is. So much going on and all of the shopping and all of the stuff that you got to get done. And it's just, so tonight I want to share a message with you about how to have peace. Amen. We're going to get ready for the season ahead. But this isn't just for this season. It's something that we need to always have in our life because we need peace. Billy Graham said that the greatest human need in our time is for peace. We need the peace of God. And you know, as believers, that's for us. Amen. But it seems like a lot of the time, believers don't seem to have any more peace than the world around them. And you know, we're living in a really stressful time. There's so many sources of stress, and maybe for each person it's a little different, but it can be job stress, and it can be school stress, and it can be stress in your home, and stress over your finances, and stress dealing with your kids, and maybe stress dealing with your parents, right? Or it could be stress over politics or some conflict that's going on in our world that's got you all out of shape. Stress over violence and tragedies in the world. Stress over church. Really? Yeah. All kinds of things. And just one stress point is enough, right? But what happens a lot of the time is we got a lot of different things all at once going on, and all of them together can create such a load and a burden of stress. You ever feel just pressed under the load of life, struggling with worries and fears, anxiety, being tense, find yourself clenching your jaw? Does your dentist accuse you of grinding your teeth at night? Some of you, yeah. You know, stress can weaken your immune system. It can break down your health. You know, when stress overwhelms your body, they call it a breakdown. Stress is real, and we all deal with it on some level. It can be crippling emotionally, and a lot of times people just get to the place they can't even cope anymore. It's one of the reasons that people take their own lives. But a lot of people struggle just to kind of keep their head above water with all of the stress of life. And here's the thing, at the very least, stress will keep you from being a good witness. Because when you're really stressed, it's hard to be loving and kind. It's hard to really care about somebody else's need when you feel like you're just struggling to make it. We need that peace. If we want to be effective in the Lord's work, you know, Jesus said the cares of this life choke out the seed of the Word of God and render us unfruitful. So we need this peace so we can be effective for the Lord. Now, you know, people try to get peace in so many different ways. Some try solitude. I mean, they just try to get alone. And I want to tell you, that could be a good thing, especially if you do it with Jesus. If you're talking about getting alone with Jesus, well, that's a good way to find some peace. But just being alone by yourself, well, the truth is all the problems are still there. And a lot of times when you get alone, what do? You think about all the stress, about all the worries, about all the things you've been... There it is. It doesn't go away. Some make this a way of life. They get stressed at work or driving in the traffic, and so they have a drink. Helps me relax. Such a dangerous pattern. At the end of the day, I want to tell you the Prince of Peace doesn't want you to look to a bottle for peace. That's not real peace. That's just medicating your mind a little bit. But so many people try to find peace through illegal drugs. That's how a lot of people get hooked on drugs. They're stressed out and they're trying to deal with life. But what's really epidemic in our culture right now is prescription medications. And I want you to hear what I'm saying, because I've offended people about this before. But if you listen to what I'm saying, I don't believe anybody will be offended. I am not belittling anybody's anxiety or stress dealing with life. I'm saying that is evidence of the problem being so real, is that prescription drugs for stress and anxiety is epidemic in our culture. We need peace. And I'm acknowledging that. I want you to understand that, yes, there's this desperate need for peace. But what I'm saying tonight is that the peace that Jesus offers is something that none of those things can give. None of those things give real peace. They may distract you or medicate you, but none of them actually give real peace. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that Jesus offers us real peace. It's real. It's not pretend. It's something that's very real. And we need to learn how to get a hold of this peace. Now, I know, you know, one of the things that's real common in our culture too is we look to entertainment to give us a moment's peace. And I want to say there's nothing wrong with entertainment and relaxing. That's a good thing. But it doesn't really give you true peace. Again, it's just an escape for a few minutes. Some look to religion. Did you know all of the world's religions all talk about peace? But real peace can't be found just by living by a certain set of rules or by focusing on the third eye in La La Land. Never mind. But for a believer, we need to hear tonight what the Scripture says about how to have peace. So I'm going to give you 7. I was going to give you 5, but I changed my mind. We're going to go fast. And if you get a hold of these, if you get a hold of one of these, I believe it can really bring peace in your life. But some of you, you need to get all 7. So if you need to, get you an offering envelope and jot them down or something. I really believe what I'm preaching tonight. So it's going to be simple, but we're going to go fast. 7 things in 30 minutes. Help me, Lord. First, you have to know that Jesus is the source of your peace. You can't look to anything or anybody else. It has to be Jesus. When it's all said and done, He is the one who gives true peace. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus gives His peace. He says, not like the world gives, because see, the world's peace is always shaken and it can go away in just a moment at any time. But the peace that Jesus gives is something deep down on the inside that's not dependent upon circumstances. It's dependent upon the Prince of Peace. The world's peace is so fragile because it depends on circumstance. Our peace depends on a relationship with the Prince of Peace. As long as we look to other things, I want to tell you, your peace is always going to be fleeting. You have to be focused on the Prince of Peace. You know, the world's peace, it can be shattered in a moment. Jesus' peace is shatterproof. That's why we got to go for His peace. The world's peace is elusive. You can chase after it, and as soon as you think you finally got it, it slips through your fingers. But listen to this. Jesus' peace is freely given to us. He says, my peace I give to you. Who was this written for? You need to know that John the Apostle wrote this decades after Jesus said it. And at the end of the book, he says, these things are written that you might believe. He's talking to us. I'm telling you, you need to know this is for you. Jesus saying, my peace I give to you. It is a gift that he wants to give us. How do you receive this? Well, it's pretty simple. You know, Jesus tells us in Mark 11:24, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. So here's what we need to do. We just need to ask Jesus for this peace and believe that he gives it to us. And you thank him for it because you believe. He says, if you believe, you receive, you shall have them. And that certainly applies to such a clear promise in the Word of God where Jesus says, my peace I give to you. You know, we understand salvation this way. We believe the promises of the Word of God. We ask him to forgive our sins, and he does. And it's the same way, the same kind of faith. We just ask for this peace, and we believe we receive it. Isaiah 53:5, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. He paid the price for our peace. He suffered so we could have this peace. In Mark 4, it tells the story of the disciples out in the boat with Jesus. And I know many of you know the story, but a great storm comes up and the waves are coming over the boat, and somehow Jesus is asleep in the boat. That's peace. That's real peace. And they're all frantic. They wake him up and they say, Lord, we're about to die. Don't you care? And sometimes we feel like that. And Jesus gets up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, it's Mark 4:39, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I want you to understand, in our lives, there could be a great storm. And sometimes Jesus quiets the storm on the outside. But what we need to hear tonight is that Jesus gives us his peace. No matter what is going on the outside, there can be a great calm on the inside when we receive the peace that Jesus so freely gives. Number two, perfect peace comes when we keep our minds on him. See, when it comes to having peace, your mind is always the battlefield where that struggle is going to take place. And so it's so important that we learn to get our minds on the Lord, and especially when trouble comes. We look to the Lord. We focus on him. But here's what the scripture says in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now the phrase perfect peace in the Hebrew, it is literally shalom, shalom. And shalom is the word for peace. The word perfect is not actually there. It's shalom, shalom. But in that Hebrew language, when a word is repeated like that, it's for emphasis. It's like a double portion of peace. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. How does this happen? We keep our minds stayed on him, fixed on him. We don't allow the wind and the waves. We don't allow what seems to be an impossible situation to get our minds off of him. Because what are you going to think about when impossible comes? The one with whom all things are possible. You see, what are you going to do when sickness comes? You're going to focus on the healer. What are you going to do when there are financial needs that arise? You look to the provider. See, whatever the situation, we have a reason to stay focused on Him. We just start looking at the circumstances and thinking about the circumstances, we're not going to have peace. But if our mind is stayed on Him, oh, we can have that perfect peace. You know, when you don't know what to do, you know, that's one of the most stressful things in life is when there's problems and trouble and you're trying, you know, what do? You focus on the shepherd, the one who leads you and guides you through. See, whatever it is, when you feel all alone, you focus on the one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, when everything is going wrong, you're not going to think about that. Instead, you're going to focus on the one who works all things together for our good. You just keep your mind on the Lord. And here's part of that. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. And we got to get this. This is why we keep our minds on him, because we trust him. We know that we can count on him. Trust. Webster defines it as assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. And I like that definition because I want you to know we can trust the character of the Almighty. He is perfect in all of his ways. My trust is in his ability. He's almighty. There's not anything that he can't do. So we trust him and we keep our mind on him. Now, the biblical word for trust means to rely upon or put confidence in. And it carries with it this connotation of rest. In other words, we have such confidence that we can rely on him that we just rest. That's peace. That's peace. When our minds are stressed and filled with worry, you know what we do? We go over negative situations. That's what worry is. We just keep replaying the negative situation. We got to choose to trust him and get our mind on him instead. Instead of thinking about the problem, we think about a God who loves us and can do anything. I mean, instead of focusing on that doctor's report, we focus on the healer. Amen. Instead of focusing on some danger, we focus on the one who watches over us day and night. See, we just get our minds on the Lord because we trust him. Perfect peace. Number three, there is great peace for those who love his word. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. We need to remember that in the day-to-day of life, our love for him and for his word is not just a feeling. It's much more than that. Feelings come and go. Feelings are up and down. Love is something that we choose to do. We choose to love his word. We choose to turn the TV off and spend some time in the Word. I'm talking about how to have great peace. And I want to tell you, this is so much better than anything this world has to offer. There's a lot of cheap, easy things the world will offer to try to give you peace, but none of it's lasting and none of it's real. This is real. Great peace have they who love your law. You focus on the Word of God and you hide it away in your heart, and I want to tell you, it will be there for you in the times of trouble. When you spend time in God's Word, it just prepares you for whatever may come. 119, 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. See, when you're going through your day and all of a sudden a storm comes, the wheels come off, all of a sudden something bad happens. But you see, if you've been in the Word, you'll be prepared for that. Because God's got an answer for everything. He really does. But usually when we really get shaken is because either we didn't know the promise of God that applied to that situation, or we just didn't know it good enough to really have it in our heart. I mean, we might know it in our head, but we didn't know it good enough to be able to stand on it in faith. Because I want to tell you, whatever the problem is, there's a promise for that. But the more time that you spend in the Word, the more peace that you're going to have. In Luke chapter 10, it tells us about Jesus going to have dinner with Mary and Martha. And I know a lot of you know the story, how that Mary, it says, she sat at his feet and she heard his word. But Martha was trying to get dinner ready, and she gets all upset because Mary was not helping her. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. And she goes and she complains to Jesus, "Make my sister help me." I mean, a lot of people really identify with Martha because she's the responsible one. You know, she's the one that's taking care of business and getting it done. And she's doing all the work. And this Mary, she's just sitting in there at Jesus' feet. And so they kind of identify and they feel sorry for Martha. But I want to tell you something, Jesus didn't. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Mary has chosen that better part, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, people need to understand, Jesus was not saying that we shouldn't fulfill our responsibilities. But you need to know this, there's a lot of people that don't fulfill their responsibilities, and they don't have peace. Right? You see, the two are not tied together. You can have peace and still fulfill your responsibilities. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Yes, we should do what we're supposed to do. We should fulfill our responsibilities. But we're not supposed to be troubled all the time. You got to choose that good part, that better part, Jesus said, to sit at his feet and hear his word. It has so much to do with whether or not you're able to really have peace. You know, if you're struggling with a certain area of life, it's just been stealing your peace, you need to find you some scriptures that speak to that issue. And you know, forever they had these little God's Promises books where you could look up different subjects. And you know what? It's so much easier now. You might as well make good use of all that AI and just say, "Where's a scripture about this?" Okay. It's too easy. You can find a scripture just like that. I mean, my wife used to always call me her concordance, and she would say, "Where's this and where's that?" Now she just asks Google, you know, but every once in a while she still uses me. I'm good for something. But here's the thing. I'm just telling you, you need to get you some verses that speak to your situation so that you can believe those verses. If you will get that down in your heart, the Word of God is medicine for your soul. See, when you're all stressed out, you're struggling in this area, you get a hold of the Word of God and you start getting that down inside of you. It's going to help you get to a place of peace. But it's also vaccination. The more that you hide it away in your heart, the more that you know the scriptures and have it down inside of you, situations arise, and already there is a verse of scripture that's there. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he brings to remembrance. You see, the things that we've put down in our heart, the Holy Spirit will cause that word to rise up in you at just the time that you needed it. Great peace have they who love your law. I'm going fast. Number four. There's a peace that passes understanding for those who pray with thanksgiving. And this one, it gets talked about a lot, but it's so powerful and so important. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing. But pray about everything. And you pray about it with thanksgiving. You don't worry, don't stress, don't be anxious. Instead, you pray. and I've said this many times, but it has to be said again tonight. Well, I prayed for 3 minutes and I'm still stressed. Listen, God can hear a 5-second prayer. But a lot of the time, it takes us more than 5 seconds or 3 minutes, and sometimes more than 30 minutes to get to the place where we actually turn it over to God and believe He's going to take care of it, where we can thank Him for it. And you need to pray through, not because it takes God a long time to hear. Sometimes it just takes us a while to let go. But you got to get to the place where you can thank God for taking care of it. And the peace of God that passes understanding. Other people may think you're crazy, but you can have a peace that passes understanding when you pray through like that. See, when life gets you bent out of shape, you get straightened out in prayer. And you pray with thanksgiving, not with complaining. Always pray with thanksgiving. Number 5, when we obey, there is peace like a river. Oh, this is one that often gets overlooked. It's such a simple principle. Isaiah 48 and 18 says, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river." When we heed His commands, our peace is like a river. It just flows. Peace like a river. You see, obedience is really underrated nowadays. But it is so much a part of our relationship with God. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. The guy that cheats on his taxes, he can't have peace. The person that lies, there's no way they can have peace. And the person who refuses to obey God, they're not going to have peace. Let's think about old Jonah in the gut of a fish for 3 days and nights. I want to tell you, he didn't have any peace. "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river." Now, I want you to know all of us make mistakes, and we all need God's forgiveness, and He's so good and gracious and kind. But obedience is important to God. And it's just a spiritual law that when we refuse to obey God, we're putting ourselves in a situation where we're not going to be able to have peace. Peace comes as we live in obedience. It's a matter of character. I mean, as we walk with the Lord and we obey Him day by day, we find ourselves walking in closer fellowship with the Lord, and our peace is like a river. Number 6, wisdom is the path of peace. Here it is, Proverbs 3:17. Her ways, it's talking about wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Wisdom will take you down a path to peace. See, if I go over here and I get on I-35 and I head south and say, "I'm going to Fort Worth," that's dumb. Now, if you don't know your directions, you can ask your husband. I mean, you can ask someone to explain it to you later. By the way, we're celebrating 43 years tomorrow. It's amazing that she puts up with me, isn't it? Yep. I know. It's just the grace of God. I thank Him for His goodness to me every day. You know, some people never balance their checkbook. That is unwise. If you can't do it, get somebody to do it for you. But you need to know what's going on. I mean, almost any area of life, if you do foolish things, it's going to be hard for you to have peace. It's going to bring stress into your life. So this is just really simple, basic truth that if we want peace in our life, we need to be wise about how we handle life. You know, you check the pressure on your tires. Sometimes you need to lock your doors. Oh, well, I'm just trusting God. I don't have to lock my doors. His angels and blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord either. So you just need to be wise. And that path of wisdom will take you to a place of peace. Being foolish and making all kinds of foolish decisions is going to take you to a place where peace is hard to find. 7. We're going to make it, y'all. I'm really surprised, are you? I shouldn't be surprised when God answers my prayers, but Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. If you want peace, you need to be a peacemaker. Troublemakers don't get much peace. Be a peacemaker. It's part of our nature as a born-again Christian. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. But it doesn't happen by accident in your life. We're supposed to want it. We're supposed to pursue it. 1 Peter 3:11, let him seek peace and pursue it. If we're contentious and prideful, selfish, unyielding, we're not going to have peace. We're going to have turmoil. And I don't just mean on the outside. You know, if we're contentious and prideful and selfish, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to have peace on the inside either. But we're also going to be in conflict with people that we didn't need to be. In Romans 12:18, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I like it that the scripture really brings a clarification here, if it's possible. Because sometimes it's not possible. I mean, there were times when the disciples, the apostles, were persecuted just for preaching Jesus. And yes, sometimes we can be persecuted for what we believe. But a lot of the time, we get in conflict with people just over our personal opinion or preference or what we want. What the Bible calls selfish ambition. And I'm just telling you, we have to, as much as possible, we got to seek peace and pursue it. Live peaceably with all men. Lay aside our pride. We're talking about pride on Sundays right now, but I read this verse this week. Be completely humble. You want to have peace in your life? Learn to let go of your pride. Be completely humble. And I want to close with this. This old world, oh, how they need peace. You know, I don't know if it's the greatest need of our day. Billy Graham said that, but I do know that there's such a need for peace in people's lives. And what a witness, what a testimony it is when we, as the people of God, when you, as a child of God, in the midst of whatever else might be going on, you have peace. Conflict. You got fired. Trouble. Sickness. But you have peace. What a witness and a testimony to the world. And this is available to us. The one who Isaiah 9:6 calls the Prince of Peace, Jesus. He gives us this peace. I just want to encourage you tonight. I told you, it's a gift. He says, my peace I give unto you. And it is as simple as this. We ask him for it. And we believe we receive it. We just choose to believe. It's not a feeling. It's something that you decide. That's what Jesus says. Have faith in God. He doesn't tell you to do something you can't. We choose to believe. And when he says, my peace I give unto you, we just need to say, Lord, I believe I receive. I'm going to take that peace and I thank you for it. Just believe that promise. My peace I give unto you. It's available to us. In fact, I just want you to write where you are. Ask for that peace. And some of you may be, oh, I got it, Pastor. Just ask him for it. In fact, I want you to just close your eyes and hold your hands out like this, like you're receiving something. Earlier tonight, we were worshiping. We were giving him something. But I just want you to hold your hands out like this and just ask him for that peace and believe that you received tonight. Well, Father God, I just thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, and you are more than enough. Well, Father, in all of life, in all the struggles and the battles and the conflicts and all the attack of the enemy and everything that happens in this world, Lord, we know that you are the one constant, that you are the unshakable God. And Lord, we look to you now and always. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us such peace tonight. Oh, a great peace, a perfect peace, a peace that passes understanding. Oh, Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that that peace come on us tonight. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that have been struggling under a burden tonight. I pray, Father, that that would just be lifted off of them tonight, Lord, that your peace, Lord, would just fill their heart and their mind tonight, that their attention, their focus would be on you, fresh and new, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, if you believe, you receive, say amen.